Welcome to Whatever Works, our unique fortnightly podcast in which we talk about whatever works in our lives and in the lives of our community members. Find us at whateverworks.works. And why not join our community? Simply search for Whatever Works at MeWe.com and get stuck in.
Oh, blimey. Is that are we recording now?
I think we are, sir, yes. I think we.
Oh, dear.
Oh, is anyone listening? Hang on. Hello, everyone.
That's it. That's a good point. Oh, sorry.
Yeah, that didn't work, did it?
You're going to have to stitch some sort of editing into this. Hello, everyone.
Oh, dear me. Do you know, everybody, we were talking about doing a running start, and then we sort of ran and fell over and weren't quite sure what was going on. Yeah. Hello, everybody.
Lovely to be with you again, isn't it, Ronnie? And in the packed programme tonight, it's show 241. What can we make of 241? There must be some link into the number of 241.
I don't
we
know.
Missed what was it?
We missed 230. We missed the Chinese dentist, which annoyed me thoroughly.
We missed that. Yeah, we keep missing all the interesting numbers, but I can't hang anything on 241.
Well, we made a bit of a thing of a 180. I remember that.
Oh yeah, that's right. Yeah, that was a while ago, wasn't it? It's the middle of May ish, kind of. And it is show 241, and whateverworks.works is our website, and blah, 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 aidenbell.com, blah, blah, tedsalmon.com, blah, 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 and let's get on to it. Let's talk about your car. Have you got a new car?
I've got a new car, maybe I didn't mention. No, do you know what? I wanted to tell you, this is a quick lesson in. I learned a life lesson in the last couple of weeks about, you know how we always want, especially, I mean, I'm talking to the man who runs so many podcasts about the best and the biggest and the newest, and you know how we always want to have the latest phone or the newest loudspeaker or whatever it might be. Well, I learned about an update to my car, to the infotainment system that would. It's basically exactly the same as having a mobile phone update. It was just going to be a software update that would just make the infotainment, the control of all the various bits and pieces in the car, zingier and faster and, you know, like proverbially like off a shovel as opposed to waiting for things to open. So I thought, oh, that's nice. I'd love to have that. I'll see how much it costs. And thus began a very long and difficult journey, I won't bore you with, to do with contacting Polestar and then contacting the Polestar's service station who hadn't heard of it, who had to got in touch with Polestar themselves. And we had this triumvirate going on for a long time. It turned out it wasn't just
triumvirate. What?
Sorry, triumvirate. You
swallowed a dictionary again. Triumvirate,
dear. Look it up. It means...
Triumvirate.
It means the
I've
three of us.
I've never heard that word. Well, yeah. I guess the try was the clue.
Oh, dear. Now you've lost... I've lost my thread completely. Oh, missus, what have you done? Anyway, the point being, it was £1,800. It wasn't just a software, it was a hardware update. And they came back saying, well, the part's going to be £500 and the labour. And I said to the guy, who was very understanding, I said, this is ridiculous. I just wanted to be able to update my software and say, oh, look, my car's working a little faster. And the life lesson is, 10 years ago, this was unheard of in a car. 20 years ago, you know, the car entertainment was a naff radio with buttons that fell off in your hands that barely made a sound. You know, we have to keep an eye on being grounded and saying, wow, I'm driving an amazing electric car that's got more technology in it than they had in the bloody Apollo 13 space shuttle rocket. So happy with what you've got. And if you can't have the very latest and greatest, then who cares? £1,800 just for a software update to my infotainment system. It was balmy. And I just wanted to bring it up on the show and talk for the first 20 minutes about it, because it did feel like a life lesson. You know, supposing all of a sudden there was no more email and we couldn't ever send another email. Well, we'd go back to sending faxes. And when the fax machine came out, we said, oh, this is incredible. We don't have to wait 5 days for the post anymore. We just have to send a fax. So, you know, keep an eye on the event horizon, but don't go tripping up over yourself trying to catch up with it. That's all I have to say this morning.
Yeah, absolutely. And, I think everything is going up in price. Without any question at all, all you've got to do is go to Tesco and see the prices all hiking up.
Yes.
And instantaneous price hikes as well. You know, right? You go in one day and it's one price, and the next day it's another price. And I suppose the same is true of people that are writing stuff for Polestar infotainment systems.
Yeah, I mean, the point is, I think it's not something that was rolled out across the whole network for everybody to jump at. It was a speciality thing that I read about on a forum and got typically Aidan Bell excited and wanted to have. And you have to learn, well, you can't necessarily have all these wonderful things you want. And there we are, Ted. It's only taken a few years, and here we are talking about the price of fish.
Yes, indeed. I wanted to tell you that I got one of those mugs. You got a mug for someone in your family.
I did. You brought the nostalgic art mugs on. I was very taken and bought one for my brother-in-law, I suppose he is, to say thank you for doing my websites. Yes, indeed. So thank you for the hot tip.
So I just wanted to feed back and say that I did get the Vespa one just because I've got a scooter, which I fall off of now and again. but that's another story. And it was 11 quid. And it's really nice. I have to say, it's a lovely mug. To some degree, a mug's a mug, isn't it? But I do like the fact that it's coloured black inside. I'm not quite sure why, but colour being white inside a mug seems frightfully common now. You want a black inside, please?
Yeah, I thought that's very, very, very sexy, and well made. Yeah, I don't know if a mug's a mug. I mean, you can go down to the pound shop and buy the most horrendously horrible mugs. I mean, no, this is it's a quality mug, and I thank you for bringing it onto the show. And the one that I've bought for Paul is actually winging its way to Cyprus as we speak. So hopefully that will go down well there as well. Thank you.
Excellent. And I thank you for thanking me, because being thanked for thanks is very thankful. Jim Fowle is next with feedback from the group members. We were talking about hay fever last time. I suffer every year, says Jim, and I have prescribed tablets via El Doctori that keeps it under control. But this year it has been off the chart, so he's agreeing with me. I don't usually get it. I was saying on the last show that it's just being a bit out of hand, really. I'm taking my usual tablets and then another antihistamine later in the day, he says. So if he's taking Pyrotin, like I was saying before, no doubt he'll be sleeping half the day. Now, it just so happens that the weather has kind of turned a bit now, and it's not so sunny and hot and stuff. And also, we're moving on towards, away from the height of the hay fever season, I think. So I'm not having to take Pyrotin at the moment. But thank you for your feedback, Jim.
Lucky of Hatfield here, I have to say. I've never suffered from hay fever of any kind or any sort of allergy whatsoever, so very lucky in that respect. Moving on. Excuse me. See what I did there. Joe Hickey. Now, he feeds back on... Well, I suppose he's feeding back on the show in general, because he says, I'm now wondering what Ted has more of, cooling fans, tins, or Bluetooth speakers? Actually, you forgot headphones, Joe, as well. I think we all have things of which we buy more than is needed, though, he says. I used to buy loads of jackets, says Joe. Yeah, I mean, we all do. I mean, I think with me, it's plastic boxes. I think over the years, people have realised Aidan Bell very much has a plastic box fetish. I go in the garage and I'm hailed all these plastic boxes and think, what are you doing, Aidan? Would you concur with Joe there? Is there anything he's missed off the list in terms of the Ted collection fetish?
Not really, except podcasts, maybe.
Yeah, that's a good one.
I spend most of my time doing podcasts, frankly, and tinkering with websites. Incidentally, I don't know if anyone noticed, but last week I turned our website black.
You did? We went to the dark mode, yes.
And I thought, that's really cool. Yes. because it was actually quite... Being black on white, was really quite boring, and I thought, that's giving it a bit of style. Lovely.
Mug, wasn't it? Took one look at your Vesta mug and you thought, I'm going to make the websites black and all. Now, Joe continues to say that on Ted's boiling water... Oh, yes, we talked about your father boiling a whole kettle of water. Joe says, I boil only the amount that I'm going to use. Bravo, Joe. But then he says, I spend ages in the shower, wasting it that way instead. Yeah, we all do what we can and we fall down where we can't. There it is. Thank you, Joe.
Jeremy Harpham is next on Zippity-Doo-Dah, Zippity-Doo-Dah, Zippity-Day. That annoying moment when the metal or fabric tag on a zip gives up on your clothing. Grab one of those circle ring thingies. This is a Ted's top tip, really, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
And an old key ring and repurpose it. Works a treat. So he's got a picture there of basically a zip with the puller missing. And he's used a key ring to feed through the hole and made himself a little puller thingy. And after he'd done that, John Doe jumped in and said, yes, you can also use a paperclip or indeed anything that you can put through the hole and then use it as a zipper puller. So well done, Jeremy. Well done, John. And some useful ideas. That's definitely a Ted's top tip.
It is fiendish indeed. Although John's zip with a paperclip through it just makes me think of punk. I mean... You have to be quite brave to go out with one of those on your coat. Yeah, I tell you what I have to bring to the show this week. Inflatable boot trees.
Oh.
What the? I hear you cry. Well, part of my Santa clobber, I've got the Santa boots, which of course have to sit for, 11 months out of the year unworn. And so I wanted some boot trees to put in them. Boot trees can be very expensive. Boot trees, by the way, being this, sturdy thing that you shove into the boot so that the boot keeps its form and doesn't flop over as it sits unworn. I bought some cheap plastic ones and they were dreadful and they went straight back to Amazon as soon as I got them. They could barely stand up on their own, never mind hold the boots up. And I found something incredible. £10.59 gets you three pairs of inflatable boot trees, which are... It does what it says on the tin. You blow this thing up and you just sort of get a long, thin wedge thing. And you shove it down your boot and it's perfect. And it holds the boot perfectly in place. And, of course, they're ultra, ultra light being blow up. So very useful, very convenient. Of course, you could then, if you needed to, you could deflate them, shove them in your pocket and reinflate them when you get to the party where you're leaving your boots in the hall. I don't know, wherever it might be. So there you go. Inflatable boot trees. I don't suppose there's an enormous use case, but sorry, go on.
So do you put the thing in the boot and then blow it up so
it
fits properly?
No, not at all. No, you just blow blow it up and it basically you're holding an elephant's pride in your hands. It's about that size and shape. And then you just shove this thing into your boot. It's perfect. Works. And I thought, it's going to go down after 10 minutes. But, I mean, I bought these a couple of weeks ago and checked them this morning and they're still fine.
The overarching question here is, why would you pay £10.59 when you go down to Woolworths and buy a packet of balloons, long balloons that you make animals out of, for about 10p?
I'd like to see you blow one of them up and manage to manhandle it down inside a boot without bursting it. That's all I can say.
Yeah, very good idea. Well done. Well done. Good find.
Thank you.
Last bit of feedback, I think. No, not the last bit of feedback, but a bit of feedback from Chris Kelly.
Yes.
After rum was slated in, put into room 101 last show.
Oh, that's right. I remember that.
Show.
Yes. It's personal.
Yeah, I think it was Ed, wasn't it? But anyway, in response to that, Chris Kelly says he submitted a picture on our MeWe group of his current spiced rum collection. Vapura Blood Orange, Kraken or Kraken Salted Caramel. Salted Caramel sounds lovely.
Yes.
Chairman's Reserve and Salford Dewar's Marmalade. Marmalade-flavoured rum. Yeah, he says they're all bloody lovely. Ooh. If you like white rum, Joe Hickey can recommend an excellent coconut one called Aluna Coconut Rum. We're not on eggs and we're not on... what's our other favourite topic? Eggs is one of them, but now we're on rum. Coffee, that was it.
Coffee, of course. Do you know what? I drink very little at all of any kind of alcohol, so I'm not that at all experienced with rum. I wouldn't know one from t'other. But I do recall that once or twice when I've drunk rum, I've enjoyed it very much. I really should try rum. I think rum might be a good drink for me. And looking at this picture that Chris has sent us of his four bottles of rum side by side, it does look very tempting, doesn't it?
I quite like Malibu. I think Malibu's rum, isn't it?
I don't know. You're asking the wrong person.
I think it is. My sister used to keep Malibu, and yeah. It tasted of coconut, and probably a bit like Joe's Aluna one. Maybe that's a cheap man's Malibu or something. I don't know.
I like the look of the dark Kraken one. I believe rum is made of dark of brown sugar, isn't it? So
that's the Kraken one. I think is the one that Ed said on the last show that he was comparing the cheap old. I think it was, I can't remember the name of it now. Morgan. I think it was Morgan, wasn't
it? Okay, maybe.
Anyway, Kraken is the one that, yeah. I fancy the marmalade one, though.
Well, we'll just have to get Chris to send all four bottles over so we can do a taste test.
Yes, absolutely.
Please, Chris, thank you. Daniel B brings us the Made Smart Bathtub Corner. This is basically a sort of a tri-sided piece of metal. See what I'm doing there? I'm making a mess of it. A tri-sided piece of plastic, a sort of a shelf thing that you can use as a corner shelf. He's at £14.36. Daniel says it's great for creating space quickly and cheaply. It's worked fine for me, he says. It uses a strong suction cup and for me holds a couple of bottles of shampoo and a few lightweight items. It worked perfectly in our shower when we only needed a couple of bottles and a disposable razor to be stored in a corner away from the shower water.
At which point I said to him, how would you put that in the shower? Do you mean on the floor? And he answered.
He did. He said he's lucky that his shower has a small ledge. He's got one of these, I guess it's one of these sort of fiberglass prefabbed shower unit things. And he says it's got a small ledge halfway up the wall to the left of the shower head, which is big enough to hold a bottle of shampoo. So he can attach the Made Smart Bathtub Corner to that. And then, of course, it holds more than just one bottle of shampoo.
My shower is completely flat-sided everything. I was thinking about how useful it might be to put a suction-y tray in the corner. I haven't got a wedge to put it on like that, but to put one in the corner of the shower. But my experience with these suction thingies is that they just fall off in the end, particularly if you put anything on that's too heavy. Any experience with that?
The only experience I've had is bird feeders on windows, which are also suctioned.
Right.
And I think it's a sort of 50-50. Some just fall off and are useless. We've got one at the moment that the magpies have decided to come and sit on. And I said to my mother, that'll be down in moments. And it's still on the window. And takes the weight of the magpies flapping about. So I guess it just depends on, you get what you pay for, I suppose. It depends on the quality. I mean, this thing is £10, so probably is quite good.
Yeah, it also probably depends on the quality of your spit, because with your suction pads, you've got a gob on it, haven't you?
I got to say, we'd have a bath. We don't have a shower as such. We have a bath which has a shower unit above it. So I mean, all our bits and pieces are just placed on the edge of the bath around. Yeah. So we don't, and I never shower. I mean, I bath frequently.
No. Yeah, now and again. I think you, I think you're right that Daniel's got a very interestingly shaped moulded shower thingy with lots of interesting nooks and crannies to put things on. So, yeah, good for you. Right, Ed House is next on keyboards and Mises and mice. I have four keyboards, he says, arguably two more than I really need, but they're all awesome. And I wanted to give a little rundown. The Logitech G 213 for the desk. I wouldn't be without it working from home. It's a tad loud for a membrane keyboard, but I don't see the need for a mechanical expense. This is years old and works perfectly still. The Logitech K400 Plus for when I need to work late and don't have the clacking G213. Also for the occasions where I need to use a keyboard on the Xbox. Logitech K30. Now, I know this one because I've got one. Great portable keyboard. And if I had to keep only one of the mobile keyboards, this would be it. The Nilkin Cube Pocket Keyboard folds up good and small, lighter than the K30 and smaller. Obviously, this means the typing isn't quite as nice, but the option to leave the mouse behind at all is a good one. And he can travel proper light. Sorry, I fluffed my lines there. Your turn.
Not as badly as I fluffed the last item I did, Ted. Yeah, I mean, wow. I mean, I admire the ability to actually distinguish four keyboards so perfectly like that, one from the other. Basically, to me, it's just a thing you stamp on to write what you want to write. To that end, mine is a Steel Series, for those who may or may not be interested. I bought this thing, years ago, because you can bash seven bells of hell out of it and it survives, because I do tend to really thump when I type. So I mean, good for you, Ed, that to be able to distinguish. And now let's continue with Ed's four mice.
Yes, yeah.
I mean, again, an incredible ability to understand it all. The Logitech G502 Proteus Spectrum. This is the best mouse, says Ed. Better quality than the Hero, which is up next. And having the same amount of sensitivity steps over more sensible range. It means it's easier control. I like a heavy mouse, and with all the weights in it, this is comfy. And it's a cabled mouse, not optical, with a nice braided cable. Wow, cabled mice. That's a blast from the past, isn't it? Logitech G502 Hero, as aforementioned, bought before the Proteus, doesn't quite have enough twitchiness for some modern shooters. I'm saying these words, but I have no idea what they mean. I'm sorry. Number three is the Trust Mackie Gaming Mouse. My mouse for travelling light. Good for a tenner, but not much more. And number four, finally, the M720, excellent for the office. A Logitech M720, excellent for the office with multi-device switching, and it's good and wide. I like a chunky mouse, says Ed. It does have a soft touch coating, which gets a little greasy if you leave it for a while, but once you use it again, it goes back to normal. Wow.
Mm-hmm. Cool. You see the common theme there of Logitech.
I do indeed, yes. Again, I have to throw mine in just to rock the boat a bit. I'm using an Evolent VMouse 4WRLHY, which I talked quite a bit on the show about when I got it a few years ago. It's a handshake mouse, which means you've got your hand in through 90 degrees. And I've been using it since March 24 and very happy with it. So again, it's each to their own, but thank you very much, Ed, for a rundown. As I say, I'm impressed with the fact that you own all this equipment, and that you can tell, and you're obviously very appreciative of the differences between them.
Indeed. Good old Ed.
At last a jingle. Right, what's up first?
My sister, we got for her birthday, me and my dad, a couple of nice things that I thought I'd just quickly mention. First up is the gooseneck kettle. I think we might have spoken about gooseneck kettles before, but some time ago. And this is a really fancy kettle, which has got a really long, thin, narrow spout. And it goes in a really interesting shape. It's only 24 quid, 23 quid. It's called pour over coffee kettle in some circles. It's half a litre or thereabouts. And it comes with a thermometer and a coffee spoon. For those that are, connoisseuring with their coffee and so forth, that looks like a really nice kettle. And my sister has told me that they've really enjoyed using it, and it's really nice and different. And when it's not in use, it looks really nice as an ornament almost. So that's cool as well. And alongside that, we got her
I need to interrupt first. Is this an electric kettle, or do you put it on a stove, or does it not actually a kettle at all? It's just a pot. I'm a bit confused.
It's just a pot. You know, it's not a boiling kettle.
Ah, the word kettle to me immediately envisaged you boil water with it. I see.
No, it's more like an American type pot that you can put on.
Very
heat.
Nice, right?
So you put your coffee on it, and you can then stand it, put it on a tray, and serve
good,
it somewhere.
Good. That makes a lot more sense. Looking at the picture, yes, lovely. Sorry, do continue.
And the tea and coffee mugs we got them with wooden handles. They're supposed to be very Japanese style sipping tea kind of thing, or maybe Turkish coffee or espresso shots, stuff like that. £15.99 for two of these. And again, both her and my brother-in-law bowled over with these. I think they're really nice and classy. It was a good gift because they, again, the same thing applies, is that when they're not using them, they're just nice to put on display, and it's something interesting and different. So for not very much money, really, there was, you know, a good two or three gifts there, which we've been able to give to, you know, as is usually the case these days, people that have everything and don't need anything. You've got to, you know, find something to gift them. And yeah, they thought they were great. So there you go.
These are really lovely. And I mean, I encourage, dear listener, go and have a look at them on Amazon, because they're available in five colours, all of which are really, really I see what you mean, Ted. They are beautiful colours just to look at, just to behold. They look as if you've gone into a pottery in the West Country somewhere and they're on the shelf somewhere and you go, oh, those are nice. They really are lovely.
But the wooden handle makes it stand out as well, I think. It's an upright kind of block of wood. It's not a traditional type of handle. Yeah.
Very, very nice indeed.
Still using and still using.
I am still using my magnetic USB cable, what I bought in June 2024 and brought onto show 207 at the price of $12.99. It's nothing more than a metre-long USB cable. In fact, I don't even think it's a metre. It's just under a metre, I think. But the absolute joy is it's magnetic throughout its entire length, which means when you've finished it, you sort of roll it up and it clings to itself and just turns into a roll very quickly. I have to stress, it's not magnetic at one end or the other. It's magnetic all the way along. So it just kind of... Like a bit like a tape measure that folds up when you finished it. When you roll this up, it just rolls up very quickly and easily and very neatly and smoothly into its own little rolled up shape. Very, very happy with it. I use it for, it's my portable in my bag USB cable.
Right.
And yeah. I'm very, very happy with it. Still using and still recommending. $12.99.
It's very funny how they've decided to demonstrate how strong it is by tying a noose around it and hanging a car tyre from it.
Everyday use case, funny. Of course.
Okay, I'm still using my food storage sets. Me and my dad use these all the time. They're really cheap, and actually they're a bit more expensive than they used to be, but they work out at just about 50p each. And we just, well, I use them for almost everything. I hardly ever use a bowl. If I'm having some Weetabix or something, or some porridge or whatever, I just chuck it in one of these and eat it out of this. It's so much easier.
Saves washing up.
Well, yeah. They're not disposable. You do need to wash them up. But anyway, you get 24 containers with lids, and the lids are stronger than a strong thing with strongitis. If you clip them on properly, if you put soup in one of these containers, put the lid on properly, turn it upside down, shake it, chuck it around, it just doesn't budge. They're really, really tightly sealed, the lids, which makes them really handy to put in the freezer and to put in the microwave. No, don't put the lids in the microwave, because if you put the lids in the microwave, we have found that they start to warp.
But
to take them off of the microwave. But they're really, really incredibly strongly sealed. I brought these to Whatever Works 210 in August 24, and the other thing is that they claim that they're dishwasher safe, but actually, I think, again, don't put the lids in the dishwasher, because depending on how hot your dishwasher gets, they have bowed the lids.
Yeah.
They work really, really well. And the last lot we bought was in, summer 24. And, they don't last forever, but they do last an awful long time. And we use them all the time, as I say, for all sorts of things. We make jelly in them as well. So if you are making a jelly, it's just the perfect size for making a little jelly, the crystals jelly stuff. Not proper jelly. And it's the perfect size for that. And you can just then make it up, cool it off, chuck it in the fridge, and fanny's your aunt. So, yeah, recommended still. Even though they're $13.78 for 24, I think they're really good value if they're going to last for, 18 months or whatever. No, 2 years. Well, nearly 2 years. mini silicon oven mitts is next. And ooh, this is something which is an interesting design shift. When you go to your oven and you're trying to get your hot stuff out of the oven, traditionally we've got these whacking great big oven gloves, which you take two hands to put on and you've got to pull them all up and blah, blah, blah. Anyway, we discovered these heat-resistant pot holder mitt thingies. And they're really cute. And they're called pinch grip gloves. And so you don't really need to use them... you know, you don't have to put them over your whole hands. You just put your fingers into them. And they're made of this silicon stuff. So the heat does get through them eventually. But they're surprisingly robust in terms of not letting your hands get burned. And you can pick stuff out. The good thing about it is that they're so small, you can just put them on with one hand. So they're sitting on the side and you can just put, you know, four fingers in one side, thumb in the other, and just that's it, you're away. You just pinch you can pinch grip your stuff, and they work really well. £4.89 for a pair of those, and I think they're a good idea for us lazy people who can't be bothered to put big gloves on.
I'm hovering over the add to basket as we speak. I'm very taken with these, Ted, because excuse me, we have got in the kitchen exactly what you described, an old pair of these huge great ones that you have to sort of siphon each our hand into one after the other, and it takes forever, and then you've got to get them off again, and the oven's open and you're in a hurry. So you can assure me that if you've had a chicken in the oven for an hour and a half, you can put these on and get the thing out without scalding yourself.
You can, but as I say, eventually the heat will come through.
Yeah, but if you're just pulling it out quickly and putting it on the, you know, put it out, put it down. So that's like two or three seconds.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, I'm clicking the button. I'm clicking the button. I'm buying a grey pair as we speak.
Yes. Then you can send them back and they'll tell you to keep them and refund you.
Yes, that's how it normally works.
I want one of those.
I want, and I think this time I really do want, a 3D model of your chosen part of the world. I discussed, you know, social media flung this in my face the other day and I had a little look, and it really is quite charming. It's a company, and what they seem to be doing is they seem to be taking a Google Maps image, zooming in and choosing the image that the customer wants, and then turning it into a 3D model. You know, in the same way that you can look at Google Maps in 3D and you can see how tall the buildings are and this sort of thing. Excuse me. Excuse me again. They print this. They're obviously 3D. They've got 3D printing. I mean, it's. I think it's probably some young lads. They seem to be German. Have put this company together, and good for them. And you can order a model of your various sizes, sort of wall art. So you can choose your house. You can say, oh, okay, I want my house and the surrounding roads printed as a 3D model, and I'll put it up on my wall. I just like the idea. I forget. You're probably looking at it now, Ted. So you can tell me more quickly. Are there prices there? Because I didn't think to actually check the price. Oh, the frog's coming back again. Excuse me. Are you there, Ted?
The classic model, whatever that means, is £49 from £49, but the frame is £289.
Okay.
So you can buy it without the frame, and there are different sizes. So 26x26 is £79. 14x14 is £49.
Yeah, so I mean, £49 is not a, you know, if it's something that you think you're going to enjoy having on the wall, it's, you know, you pay a lot more for posters and art these days. So, yeah, it just struck me as something I actually, I'm not going to spend £49 on one, don't worry. But it struck me as something that I would genuinely quite like to have. I probably would choose the house. You know, I mean, for instance, you know, as and when the time comes that I move house, I've lived here all my life. So it would probably be very nice to have one at that point to take away and say, that's where I used to live. You know, I don't know. It just seems like a fun idea, that's all.
I don't buy the on the wall bit. I like the idea of it, but I think because the stuff is sticking out of it, it should be on a flat desk or
yes.
something.
Yes, okay. One could put it on the pianoforte or something. Yes,
exactly. Yeah, and so apart from anything else, you if it's on the wall, you catch your eye on it and pull your eyeball out, or people will end up hanging their coats on the Eiffel Tower.
I'd like the Shah card, please. Yes, and put it. You're quite right. Yeah. Put it by the door. To hang your coat on.
It is. It's a nice novel idea, though, and good, as you say, good for them. That's a really nice idea. And we'll link to a YouTube short about it as well,
yes,
in the
thank
show
you.
Notes. It's very good indeed. I would like a lolly maker. Summer is coming. It's going to be warm soon, apparently. I was watching the Met Office video last night, and they said,
indeed,
warming is coming.
It's coming.
So I saw this lolly maker, and it's it looks like it's not available yet. But do you know, I think I would use this if I had one. It's basically you chuck all the whatever ingredients you want to put in it, and unlike usually with lolly making equipment and methods, you don't have to put it in the freezer. It just does it all for you, and they claim that it's going to make lollies from scratch in half an hour. Now, if I had something on the side in the kitchen that I could make lollies in half an hour in, I would probably use it. But thinking ahead to do all that and make it into these little stands and then make sure it's upright in the freezer and it's not going to fall over and all the fluid falls out and blah, blah, blah. I just couldn't be arsed with that. I know I couldn't. But half an hour on the side in the kitchen, I think that it's a winner. It does look like it's a solid bit of kit, and there's no price. It's on pre-order at the moment, but they're hoping to get people to pre-order it, not knowing the price.
Wow!
But they're asking for a $1 deposit. So I reckon that's a good scheme. So you put a website up like this.
Oh yeah, you're sucked in. Yes, yes.
You stick a website up like this and you say, we're not telling you how much it's going to be, but put a dollar down. Now, if you've got a million people worldwide to give you a dollar, you get $1 million, and then you just leg it, and that's the end of it.
OK, you're now advocating criminality. Let me jump in here. It does look good. It looks a bit like a dehumidifier. It's about the size of two shoeboxes,
yes, yeah,
side by side. And it, as you say, it sits on the kitchen counter and makes lollies. I'm amused by there's a picture on the website of a child eating a lolly. That's a colossal lolly. I mean, that's sort of a double size lolly. Maybe you can actually choose the size you want the thing to come out in. Yeah, I mean, I might be interested if I knew what the price is, as you say. I mean, you put down a dollar and then they come back and say, OK, it's 750. But let's see what happens.
Yeah, yeah. I've clicked through again to see if there's yet a... It says coming soon on Kickstarter, you see. So it's not even, you know, it's not even at the Kickstarter
stage. It's an idea. Somebody's been playing with AI and produced this thing. It doesn't even exist yet.
This if it makes it, this will be summer next year, not this year.
Yes.
Whatever.
Right, where are we now?
Whatever worked. Keep up at the back.
Duh. We got up to show 92, The Cream of Cheeses, it was called. And this was October 2019. That was the next one we were on. And I didn't recognise quite a lot on this show, to be honest. And I found in the end something that I just thought I would quickly mention, which is my Bigfoot winter wool socks, which I was raving about at the time. And I have to say that since 2019, all of them have got huge holes in them. And you know, they haven't worn well at all. I tend to, when in the winter my feet are cold, I tend to now put them over my socks because they're quite thick, but they're still full of holes. So yeah, Bigfoot winter wool socks, they don't really stand the test of time in terms of years. But don't chuck them away, because you can use them for cleaning your car. Have you got a new car?
I shall say nothing, except that we didn't include socks when we listed your fetishes earlier. I think socks could have been included in that.
Oh,
list.
Right.
I'm very pleased to hear you say you don't remember this, because I'm, to my embarrassment, I don't remember any of this show, and I was getting a bit concerned about the grey cells. But if you don't either, maybe the whole thing was done in some sort of time flux somewhere. I don't know.
Perhaps you weren't there.
I don't know. Well, you weren't there either? since I didn't recognise any of it, I decided that having done inflatable boot trees earlier in the show, I'd go for the Hövding, obviously German or Swedish or so, Hövding inflatable bike helmet, which actually appears to be some sort of crash... airbag for bicyclists. You wear it round your neck. It's a sort of very thick collar. And it seems as if the idea was that in the event of an accident, this thing bursts open and becomes an airbag that encompasses your whole head and saves you from injury. All I can say is that this was 2019 and we've never seen or heard of this thing since, so I assume that it never happened and I'm not terribly surprised. It sort of amused me more than anything, the idea of a airbag to put on your head when you're riding a bike, but there it is. I think I prefer my boot trees.
If this had gone tits up, you would think that they would not pay to keep the website going, though.
Oh, that's true.
It says, notify me, visit the press page. Don't miss the launch. Visit the press page.
7 years ago, so I think I think it's just one of those sites that just sat there until it eventually dies.
Indeed. Anyway, there you go. So it was a show that neither of us were at, apparently, but I do remember that inflatable bike thingy, I have to admit. I'm going to chuck into room 101 the pink stuff, but not the pink stuff that you get in a pot that's a paste, because that's absolutely brilliant, but the pink stuff spray, which is absolutely
bollocks. So can I stop you there? What is pink stuff?
We've done this on the show at least 3 times. Pay attention. Oh, of course, you don't turn up at shows, do you? We just proved that. You weren't on show 92 in October 19, so you weren't on the shows also where we did the pink stuff. The pink stuff is this incredible cleaning agent.
Oh, OK.
Which just cleans anything. It works really, really well. And it doesn't do it by
Would
abrasion.
Would it clean your it bad by... manners?
Anyway, right, so the pink stuff is great in the pot of pink paste, but these spray thingies, which apparently are supposed to work by... Oh, you spray it on, leave it a few minutes, and any grime or dirt or whatever, leave it a few minutes and wipe it off. Well, that's just bollocks. That doesn't work. When you do that, you spray it and wipe it off, left it for a few minutes, half an hour, and it just doesn't work. It's rubbish. So they've gone a bit too far ahead of themselves, I think, at the pink stuff. And I would recommend very strongly, even though this stuff is quite cheap, £7.14 for 2 of these on Amazon. And, you know, they're not small. They're quite big. There's quite a lot in them. But it's a bit useless, isn't it?
OK, so something I've never heard of doesn't work very well. Well, I'm...
I don't know. My phone just started playing an audiobook to me. I never told it to do that. Clear off.
Right. As I was saying, something that I'd never heard of doesn't work. So forgive me if I don't get terribly upset about it. But yes, OK.
our favourite thing, also just a quick one, our favourite regular visitor to Room 101 is Amazon drivers. Well, at least some of them. I'm not sure how many times we can roll the same thing out, but I'm going to mention it anyway. They frequently still just leave stuff on the doorstep in full view of the pavement and the road, when the irony of it is that literally 18 inches from where they put it on the doorstep with their hand. Their hand is 18 inches from a big box that says parcels on it, and all they've got to do is put it in that box, lift the lid, put it in the box. But no, they leave it on the doorstep. And so now we haven't had anything, as far as we know, we haven't had anything nicked yet, but I'm really surprised, frankly, because my dad's house, the front door is in full view of the pavement. People walk past a lot, and you know, nothing's ever gone missing, so I'm just gobsmacked. But Amazon drivers. Actually, it's not just Amazon. DHL do this as well.
Get it all off your chest, Ed.
DHL send me Motorola PR send me Motorola phones to review, and very frequently DHL they use, and they just leave a £1,000 phone in a box. They leave it on the doorstep, and what are you doing? Still, I think it
seems to be the way it's done now. I mean, I remember, I'm trying to think, some months or even years back, Amazon would ring the doorbell and stand there and wait. Nowadays, it's normal that we receive an Amazon parcel and most of the time they ring the doorbell and scarper. So at least you've got the doorbell ring to say, go to the door. Of course, now we've also got one of these fancy Google doorbells that says, you have a parcel by your door. But of course, they can't guarantee that people will have something like that. Yeah, I think it's just the way it's changing. Presumably, it's cheaper for companies to just write off lost parcels than it is for them to insist that people stand at the door and wait for a person to come and collect the parcel, because that's going to cost too much more in time and additional labour.
Yeah, it might be that the pricing, say, from DHL for the firm involved, in this case Moto PR, to have someone wait and get a signature costs, I don't know, £20 for them. Whereas if you don't need a signature, then it's £10. And so they reckon it's worth the risk for £10. We can spend £5 on insurance. So if it goes missing, we're £5 up.
Yep.
I see the kind of logic going on there. But have you got a camera on your bell? Can you record stuff at the door?
We've got the Google doorbell, whatever it's called. It does record. I mean, you have to pay for a subscription in order to keep the recording, so they only last until the end of the day and they're gone.
Okay.
But yes, it does record. We've got a day's worth of recordings that we can look back on.
And you access that by going onto a website, do you?
No, I access that through the app on the phone.
Oh, I see. Okay. All right. So if something did go missing, you could, if you wanted to, if you could be bothered, you could sit through and scroll through hours and hours of footage.
Well, it wouldn't be hours. In my case, it wouldn't be hours and hours, because we've only got the footage for the one day. But that also means that if you realise the following day that something was missing, you're buggered, because it's already gone. So, but yeah, for those who aren't as stingy as me and who pay the subscription, then yes, you could. It's just like having CCTV.
But my point is that you would need to. A day is 24 hours. So if they're saying it's been delivered and you don't know what time it was delivered, you'd have to scroll through potentially 24 hours of footage to try and find and see when they came or didn't come.
Yes, but how many people visit your house within 24 hours? I mean, in our case, one, perhaps two. I mean, it wouldn't be a lot of footage to scroll through.
Oh, I see. So it only turns it on when something is there.
Oh, yeah. No. It's not permanently running. It's PIR.
Right.
And so as somebody approaches the door, it will film. Okay. Oh dear, man. Let's move on. Right, you calm down now, Ted. You ready for another item? Get it right.
First of all, quick one for Gemma again. I was fighting with Audacity to produce Phone Show Chat this very morning, and Audacity was just playing up. It wouldn't do it properly. Went on to Gemma and told her exactly what I was trying to do, what the symptoms were. She found something buried deep in the Audacity menu system and said, do that, and Bob's your uncle, and it worked. You know, the hive mind, as you call it, of being able to access instantly anything anyone's ever written online.
Yes,
is Gemma's strength, isn't it? It's addictive, I think.
And I recently discovered that I had been always using their fast engine, and I tried for a change using the thinking engine, and it does indeed give you more intelligent answers, less prone to errors.
Yeah, absolutely. Anyway, that was my gold star. We got one from a listener, though.
Ah! It's changed colour. You can't, sir. Aidan sits back with his cup of tea waiting for Ted to finish and then suddenly discovers that the colour has changed, which means Aidan
well,
has
to tell
you. Well,
I thought I'd done enough talking.
I was going to say, Philip Ray has brought us the FOC phone repair. FOC phone repair.
No, free of charge.
Oh! Philip Ray brings us free of charge phone repair in, I can't pronounce this word, Langkawi? Is that a company I ought to have heard of?
No, it's a country, isn't it? It's a district in Malaysia or something.
Ah, thank you. Langkawi district in Malaysia have free of charge. I tell you what, ladies and gentlemen, I'd never seen this before. I was going to sit back and drink my tea and let Ted read it. And he very
Would you like me to do it?
No, he very kindly allowed me to do this spot, but I haven't seen it before. Philip says, my Samsung Galaxy S23 Ultra's screen had failed with both green and purple vertical lines on the screen. Dun, dun, dun. I took it to the shop, he says, to the repair shop. They had a new screen in stock and it was the same colour as my phone. The screen is an integrated unit with the phone frame. The replacement done in less than 30 minutes. The cost was, in English, the cost was £228, including a new battery too.
A new battery?
I'm confused.
Wow.
You just told me that FOC stands for free on charge phone. So was it free or was it 228?
Oh, yeah. The actual repair was free. He only paid for the part and the battery.
I see. So in that case,
that's what he means.
I understand where this rather confused gold star is going. The idea is that although he had to pay for the screen, that the fitting was free, which is indeed good. I mean, we've all had the experience, or all drivers have had the experience of taking a car to a garage, and they say, well, the part's £20, but the labour's £380. So, yes, in this case, I totally concur with Philip. I'm sorry that between us we made a right pig's ear of it. But you're quite right. £228 for a screen, but the fitting was free.
I'm beginning to wonder if FOC actually is the name of a shop now. Let's not go there. Thank you, Philip. Good stuff. I think we're done. A slightly
I
shorter
think we
show
should
today.
Be.
Yes. But that's okay because we were 3 weeks down. So, slightly sort of shorter shows is all right. Whateverworks.works is our website. AidanBell.com is where you'll find Aidan. TedSalmon.com is where you'll find me. Plus, in there are all the links to, in my nice dark website, all the links to our audio podcasts and our MeWe groups. So do join us there. Let us know whatever works in your lives and we'll bring highlights of that to the next show, hopefully in 3 weeks' time. And don't forget also that all of this claptrap is also on PodHub UK. So if you don't know where that is, go and Google it. Steve Litchfield keeps it up to date and it's all valid and there and all the rest of it. So I'm waffling now, so I'll leave the last word to you.
The sun is about to come out. They've told us it's about to change, ladies and gentlemen. All change. Sun umbrellas, smoothie machines and short trousers we'll be discussing. So get your ideas to us.
Yeah.
Summer is here. What are we going to discuss on Whatever Works? Meanwhile, have a lovely, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 1 month?
3 weeks.
I'm never sure.
3 weeks.
3 weeks.
Yes, and someone out there buy me a lolly machine. I fancy that. yes, as always, catch you soon. See you in MeWe. And one last thing to say, don't forget,
whatever works.
Works.
Oh, you were a bit fast there, Ted.